So we don't believe in eternal security. You might say, what, Pastor? What did you just say? Yeah, I don't believe in eternal security. I believe in double eternal security. That's how secure I am in Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that a blessing? So this verse is powerful because why is it double eternal security? Because you got the backup of the Son and the Father. But hey, I'm going to stretch it even further. Let me stretch the blasphemy to people who hate OSAS. I believe in triple eternal security. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Because I got God the Holy Spirit who also secures my salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This is a strong verse, Ephesians 1, 13. It's a great verse to memorize. Soul winners, memorize this verse. So if you're a soul winner, you should memorize this verse, okay? You should memorize this verse if you're a soul winner. In whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that what? Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit seals you unto what? Look at verse 14. Verse 14, it reads, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. That's the rapture. Wow, look at this. The Holy Spirit seals you till the rapture. Isn't that powerful? Now, some people may not understand, okay, why does verse 14, redemption of the purchased possession, praise of his glory, refer to the rapture? It's very simple. All you have to do is compare that with Romans chapter 8, which we won't turn to for time's sake. But if you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23, that verse shows that that is the rapture. Redemption, purchased possession, praise of his glory. So just look that up if you don't believe me. And then, whoop. My bad. So you'll notice right here, if you especially look at Romans chapter 8, that you are sealed all the way. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. And because we live in such a television generation where people get bored unless I don't do different colors, let's go to the next color as we go to this next column right here. So I believe in triple eternal security. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. the other one, 1 John chapter 3. I love this verse. Another great verse for eternal security. 1 John. You know, there are some people who don't think that the book of 1 John can be used for eternal security. They think that that is solely for the tribulation. And because of that, they miss a lot of blessings on eternal security. Look at this. This is perhaps one of the most famous, if not the most famous, on eternal security. And there are a group of heretics that you got to avoid called hyper-dispensationalists. What they are is they will use the term Berean and grace quite often. That's a red flag. It's really easy to tell who they are, is when they mention grace and they mention Berean. And you're going to find out that they stress so much on the apostle Paul. Now, we dispensationalists, we do believe, like Bereans, we should search the scripture. We believe in the grace of God. We believe the apostle Paul has shown a lot of things concerning Christian doctrine. But the thing is this, we do talk about Jesus at least once in a while. We do talk about Moses, the Old Testament, once in a while. I do get upset if they knock off the Ten Commandments out of public schools. Yeah, because this is part of the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If it's just your beloved apostle Paul, all of you would have Bibles this thin.
Amen.
All of you would have Bibles that thin. 1 John, yes, it contains many tribulation application. I taught that. If you teach that 1 John is completely a Christian book, then you're teaching heresy. If you say that the book of 1 John is completely tribulation, you are teaching heresy. You got to understand that the general epistle consists of tribulation and Christian application. That is important to understand. Now, I'm not going to get all expounding on that. Watch my video amazing dispensational truth from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll clearly understand why. It'll be very eye-opening. If you think it cleanly divides only Christian, only tribulation for one book, then trust me, the Bible is not going to make that much more sense. It's going to be more confusion that you're going to have to play a juggling with. So trust me, if you watch the video, then you're going to see why that double application will make things more clear for your Bible reading. Give it a shot. Okay, anyways, let's look at this eternal security verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, are you born of God?
Amen.
Doth not commit sin. Wow. Why? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. See, it's because of your spiritual seed in you. So what God is looking at is your spiritual seed in you, not your fleshy seed, not your fleshy outward actions. He's only looking at the spiritual nature. See that? That's why you cannot sin. Wow, that's a blessing. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he is begotten of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one what? Toucheth him not. Ain't that something to scream and shout about?
Amen.
Satan, basically, Satan cannot touch you, and sin cannot touch you. Now, if you want to chop this off of your Christian application, then you're missing a huge blessing right here. But me, I don't want to miss out a huge blessing. You can miss it out if you want. I don't want to miss out the blessing. I want that verse to apply to me. I want some application to me in that verse so that I can rejoice and shout. Okay, the other one concerning eternal security, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Here's another famous passage, Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. Here is another famous passage on eternal security. This verse, you probably heard it in churches before, but they don't understand that if they quote that so much, they got to understand this should apply to them in their salvation. This verse is so great in showing that anything you list cannot separate you. Cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing cannot separate you from God's love and being in Christ. You cannot get out of Christ. You're in Him. Nothing can't separate you from that. What if God's going to send me to hell out of His anger and justice? No, nothing can separate you from His love. For I am persuaded. Wow, that's strong. He's fully convinced that neither death nor life. So anything you do in this life can't separate you. Death can't separate you, nor angels. The angels can't condemn you, nor principalities. The governments of this world cannot condemn you. Demonic spirits cannot condemn you, so that's nor powers concerning government, nor things present. Look at that. Even what you do right now cannot affect you, nor things to come. Whatever you do in the future cannot affect you, nor height, that's heaven, nor death, hell cannot even do it, nor any other creature. Wow, that's even more powerful. Nothing, absolutely nothing else, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ain't that a great verse to memorize? One of the most favorite verses. All right. Ephesians. Nope, not Ephesians. We're going to look at, I'm trying to go through, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This is one of the favorites for eternal security is Colossians 2. Colossians 2 is one of the favorites on eternal security. A lot of people actually don't know this, believe it or not. I think only Bible believers, not even independent fundamental Baptists, know this verse as much. It's only Bible believers. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 is going to be a favorite. Now, why is that? In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. So notice right here, you are circumcised, that is not a physical circumcision of physical hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision means a bodily cutting off. So the question is, what is God bodily cutting us off from? Your whole body of sin. So you are separated from body of sins. So you know why this is so powerful? One, it actually admitted that your body still sins. And it showed that you're not a part of that. So no matter what sin you commit in your body, it cannot affect you. Because God did a dividing. He cut you off. Because when he cut you off, he divided you from your body of sins. Who's obviously the real you? Is it your body or soul? Soul. Who goes to heaven and hell? Body or soul? Soul. So see, God cut your soul from your body. That's what it means.
Amen.